The following podcast is brought to you by The Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
All right. Good evening. It is so beautiful to see everyone and to be together tonight, you know, a few days after Rohatsu and on the first night of Hanukkah. So it feels like an auspicious time to gather. And my name is Fugan, and I'm joining us tonight from Cape Cod, where I sit with Hyannis Zendo. We're an affiliate of Village Zendo located out in Massachusetts on Cape Cod. And in this kind of scary warm fall, we finally have a cold snap, and I'm feeling a cold breeze coming through the door right now, and it's quite wonderful. And we even woke up with a little snow this morning, which was a surprise. And the downside of this weather is that the migrating sea turtles are being cold stunned, and they're washing up on the beaches of the Outer Cape right now. And out here, it's kind of big news, especially because the numbers are way up. And that's likely because the turtles have changed their migration patterns with the warming oceans. The same thing has been happening with the right whales, of course, and with devastating effect. You know, they're down to about 400, their whole population. So these cold stunned turtles, and these are juvenile Kemp's Ridley turtles. They reminded me of an encounter I had earlier in the fall with a much bigger sea turtle. And I just want to share that with you briefly. And it was early in the morning, and I was out running on a strip of beach that I often go to and often talk about because I love it so much. And this beach has on one side, it's the ocean, and the other side is marsh, and there's no houses or development there. It's really a wonderful place. And the sun hadn't come up yet, and the moon was still bright. And as I was running, I saw this big shape lying by the water. And so I turned on my headlamp and went to investigate, and I saw that it was a giant leatherback turtle who had washed up on the shore. And it was clear that she wasn't living, but also clear that she hadn't been there for long. She was very much just leaving this world. And so I sat there for a while with this amazing creature. She had to be, I think, maybe 6 feet long, at least 500 pounds. And I felt a great sadness that this wonderful creature was lost. And at the same time, it was a feeling of peace being there for some reason, and mostly a feeling of awe being so close to something, to a creature that travels the entire Atlantic, right? The leatherbacks in the Atlantic can go as far south as the southern tip of Africa and up to the North Sea. They can dive to 1,000 meters as they search for jellyfish, which is the main food they eat. And they live for a long, long time. And so over the next couple weeks, every morning I would stop by and sit for a while where this turtle was, watching her body slowly rejoin the ocean and the shore and the marsh, kind of feeling this presence, which was really vibrant the first day and then was dissipating, you know, as the birds and crabs and other animals were being fed by her body. And I guess my stopping in retrospect was kind of a vigil. And then one morning after this great storm passed through, she had left. She was gone. And all this turtle thought today has me thinking about a beautiful Native American creation story that I'd like to borrow with a lot of gratitude and respect, because it helps, I think, helps shed light on our practice and more broadly on our being human. And this is the story of Sky Woman Falling that many of you have probably heard. And I'd like to read an excerpt from Robin Wall Kimmerer's telling of it in her book, Braiding Sweetgrass. And so here's the excerpt. She fell like a maple seed, pirouetting on the autumn breeze. A column of light streamed from a hole in the sky world, marking her path where only darkness had been before. It took her a long time to fall. Hurtling downwards, she saw only dark water below. But in that emptiness, there were many eyes gazing up at the sudden shaft of light. They saw there a small object, a mere dust mote in the beam. As it grew closer, they could see that it was a woman, arms outstretched, long black hair billowing behind as she spiraled down towards them. And so all these creatures then gathered together to catch Sky Woman. And it was a flock of geese that caught her from her long fall, but they couldn't hold her up for a very long time. And so a great sea turtle surfaced at that moment, and the geese placed Sky Woman down on the top of the turtle shell. And then all the animals realized she would need some mud for her world, and they dove down to the bottom of the sea to gather mud. And through all kinds of trials and tribulations, finally, one of them brought mud up, and Sky Woman took this mud and spread it on the turtle's back. And she was filled with this gratitude for these animals, for the world. And so she danced and sang the world into creation. And so together with all these beings, Sky Woman created the world on the great turtle's back. And this is the Turtle Island. This is why North America, or more broadly, the world, is known as Turtle Island to many native peoples. And Robin Kimmerer is a member of the Citizens Potawatomi Nation. But this story is shared by many native peoples in North America, the story of Sky Woman falling in Turtle Island. The Wampanoag people, whose name translates as the people of the first light or the east light, who inhabit this land where we are on Cape Cod, and have cared for these lands from time immemorial. They tell this story, as do the Iroquois and the Lenape and so many other native peoples. And the world turtle appears in a lot of other creation stories, histories, myths. In Hinduism, for example, there's a giant turtle who holds up four or sometimes seven elephants on his back. And these elephants, in turn, are supporting the entire earth on theirs. In some Chinese mythology, turtles are used to hold up the sky. And in some of the Tibetan cosmological mandala charts, you see a huge tortoise supporting Mount Sumeru, the sacred mountain at the center of the universe. So in these histories, these stories, the turtle is solid and utterly dependable. Sky Woman fell all the way to Earth, and the turtle supported her. It becomes the literal ground on which we sit right now. You know, feeling your sits bones on the cushion, your knees supported by the earth, we can recognize that we're utterly dependent on her. Early Buddhist scriptures teach of the four bodily presences, or four meditation postures, walking, standing, sitting, and lying down. And in our practice, of course, we focus on sitting and investigate our lives using Zazen, seated meditation. When Dogen was asked about the four bodily presences in the Bendoa, he notes that, quote, sitting practice among the four presences is the way of enjoyment and ease. Furthermore, it is not merely the practice of one or two Buddhas, but all Buddha ancestors practiced in this way. You know, all of these Buddha ancestors practicing this way. And at the same time, we know that when we manifest our awareness in any of these postures, we can instantly return to the moment. When we stand up from our zazen, when we do kinhin, even running on the beach. In all these postures, we're connected to the earth. And when we let our awareness spread to this connection, really feeling this unending support, we can grow bigger. We recognize our connection and our debt to this turtle island. This gratitude just wells up. And in zazen, we might imagine that our sitting is sitting still or stationary. When we're together in the zendo, the monitor might shout at you, "Stop moving!" Or maybe in our school, we might get a gentle reminder that stillness in our bodies lets our minds focus and settle. And now as we sit in front of our monitors, we still have a monitor who's looking at us, keeping us in our place. Literally, placed in place. Once a monk asked Yanto, "What can I do when the three worlds arise together, these three worlds of rebirth, of samsara?" And Yanto said, "Sit still." The monk, though, said, "I don't understand what you mean." Yanto said, "Bring Mount Lu here, and I will tell you." So how can this monk bring the mountain to Yanto? Or more importantly, what does Yanto mean when he says, "Sit still"? So when sitting zazen late one night, Dogen heard his teacher, Rujing, say, "Studying Zen is the dropping off of body and mind." And hearing this, Dogen, who is the founder of our lineage, the 13th century poet monk who we look to for guidance often, he was awakened at those words. Zen, studying Zen is the dropping off of body and mind. And hearing that, Dogen dropped off body and mind. And he dropped off dropping off. This is sitting still. And dropping off body and mind is a translation of the phrase Shinjin Datsuraku. And Dogen's teacher Rujin taught him that Shinjin Datsuraku, and I apologize for mangling my language here, he taught that it's none other than Zazen. The characters for Shinjin are body and mind, or body and heart-mind, jin. And datsu translates to take off or slough off. Raku, the other part of that second word, means to drop off, cast off, or fall down. And emphasizing this latter part of the phrase, we translate it as drop off body and mind. It's the release from attachments we come face to face with over and over again during our sitting. Dropping off the roles we play all day and the separations we make. Simply falling into the totality of this moment, of this breath, this connection to the earth. Dropping off body and mind. Or body and mind falling away. Falling is not one of those four postures. It's between them, or beyond them, or maybe it permeates them in some way. Falling is out of our control. when you trip on a rock, if you are stupidly running in the dark on the beach, there's no moment to think about it. You don't wonder who is falling. You don't beat yourself up. I can't believe I was doing something so dumb as running in the dark. You know, you're just falling. There's no past, no future, nothing. And flowers fall from the branches like this, as do leaves, and snow falls like that. And we fall like this, you know, not in the world of concepts. And I like to think that Dogen's body and mind falling away and Yanto's sit still and bring me Mount Lu reflect Sky Woman's fall from her place in Sky World. She stepped forward and dropped away into darkness and emptiness. There was no support, nothing to stand on. Free fall. There is a Japanese saying that we hear sometimes in Zen, fall down 7 times, get up 8. You know, and a conventional interpretation might be that this emphasizes the resiliency and determination, these characteristics we really need to come back to our practice. During the period of Zen, we go through so many places and stages, and with this determination, we come back breath after breath, period after period, week after week, year after year. But there's another level that might be more to the point. So the Sky Woman falling story is a creation story. And in it, there's letting go, there's falling. And this, I think, is what we work with in our Zazen. Noting the thoughts arise, and letting them go. And then there's gathering in, and she gets up and creates the world. And Dogen, he woke up dropping off body and mind, and then spent a lifetime writing and teaching and sharing, creating skillful means that continue to guide us. Falling down, dropping away, and then getting up. Sky Woman fell from the sky, and then with the turtle and all the other creatures' help, she got up. And this getting up is creating the world. Fall down, get up. And Dogen teaches one vital path for getting up. He says, one who falls to the ground uses the sky to stand up. One who falls to the sky uses the ground to stand up. Without being thus, you can never get up. This has always been the way with all Buddhas and ancestors. So what is this falling to the ground, right? The world of difference, these cold shock turtles on the beach, our loved ones, friends, community. The loss, the snowflakes. And what is falling to the sky? This letting go again and again. And we fall into both, get up from both, and then after getting up the 7th time, we get up again and we create. So this year has been filled, overflowing with tragedy. We've been so close with sickness and death, loss, fear, and loneliness. The systemic injustice that supports all this oppression and violence in our country and communities has been laid bare. And we see that we're living in a world and a nation that's on fire, you know, quite literally and figuratively. And we've also seen some great and unimaginable changes take place really fast as people respond. You know, through this hard work of mobilizing and collective action, we're becoming more aware of the systems of oppression and violence These are centuries old systems that have been hidden or willfully ignored. And now people are seeing them, are knowing them. The environment has also shown us she can respond. When we paused our driving for some months, Sky Woman fell into emptiness. But in this emptiness, and this is from the story again, there were many eyes gazing up. She, we might say, was confirmed by the animals, by the water, by the mud, and all creation. This community was there to catch her, to support her, and to help her create the world. And Dogen, too, was held by the practice, by the Buddhas and Buddha ancestors, and more literally by his teachers, by his fellow monks, his community of practitioners, and by the world he lived in. So as in our practice, we let go over and over again, drop off body and mind falling away. And then like Sky Woman, we get up, we create the world again and again. So we fall down seven times and we get up seven times. And then we get up once more, using the sky, the wisdom, the prajna wisdom that comes before knowing in our practice. And we get up using the ground of compassion, where we see what needs to be done next, and then we create it together. So thank you so much for your practice.